given me a title. Amen. He took me back. Probably only one person in this room probably understand what's on the screen. I don't even think my alma bearer know this one. Amen. God is my hope. God is my provider. Amen. And he's the supplanter of my enemies. Amen. God is my hope. Is he your hope today?
Yes.
Amen. Is he your hope today? He's my provider.
Yes.
Amen. He's the supplanter of my enemies. If y'all went around smiling, amen. This was my trial sermon.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Almost 20 years ago.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And God just, he took me back, amen. You know, the word is always to you first. And he took me back, amen. He said, I'm going to give you a word that I gave you 20 years ago because you need to hear it. You need to hear it, not the people. You need to hear it. And so I stand here today saying that God is my hope. He's my provider and he's the supplanter of all, not some of all. Not some of, not a few, of all. My enemies, everything that working against me, everything that wants to see me destroyed, everything that wants me to turn around. Hallelujah. 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 I told the Lord the night that the storm was coming, I told the Lord, I say, God, you have to, I need you to do something new in me. Amen, because I felt myself gripped by anxiety and fear of what the storm was coming. And some of y'all might not get this, but I have never recovered from the other storms. When the roof got ripped off of my house, and I was balled up in the hallway with my family, and I could do nothing to protect anyone. Amen, but as this storm was coming in, they were saying how bad it was going to be and how it was lined up with the city of Albany. I felt myself gripped, and I was telling my wife to pray for me, and I was telling her, and I don't think she understood what I was feeling, but it was like a full-on anxiety. And I was in the shower, and y'all, the thoughts that were running, I'm like, okay, what happens when the tree falls on my house and my wife is pinned, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do, like, I was... All of these scenarios about how I was going to, like, what's going to happen if she died? What's going to happen if my children died? Like, all of these scenarios. And see, some of y'all probably like, oh, it's a storm or whatever. I'm just going to pray my way through. That ain't your struggle. That's fine. But that's where I was. And I was standing in the shower and I said, God, you got to do something. This is not you. This is not your spirit. This feeling that I'm feeling right now, this anxiety and this fear that I'm feeling right now, it's not you. It's not you. And from, I went to sleep and the storm passed over. And I got up the next morning and God just began to talk to me. And I just began to tell him, I say, God, I said, I don't wanna go back to how I was 20 years ago. I said, but for some reason, I feel it in me. I want to believe again in your power. I want to talk to you how I used to talk to you. You haven't changed. I've changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to go back to how I was not afraid to give the word. I was not afraid to preach. I was not afraid to call out. Hallelujah. When I heard your voice, I instantly believed.
Yes.
When I hear you talking to me, I instantly believed. Hallelujah. And so I stand here today saying God is my hope. He's my provider and he's the supplanter of all my enemies. And I went back to this journal, y'all, and this is 2004 stuff. And how God was speaking to me. Hallelujah. Woo. thank you. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah, how I would spend hours in the scripture. Hallelujah, trying to find a word for my mom. I would spend an hour in the scripture trying to find a word for my cousin, for my best friend. I'm talking about line by line. I would spend hours trying to find answers. And now it has become muscle memory. Like, I know the word, but I don't want it to be muscle memory. Hallelujah. I want everything that comes out of me to be what he needs it to be, what he wants it to be. And I'm starting to understand why God has been saying the things that he has been saying through me the past couple of Sundays, down to why he say, I can't hold your hand anymore at the altar. Because some of y'all are going to be lost. Some of y'all are going to be lost because you're refusing. You're refusing to change. You're refusing to go with the Lord. He is either Lord of your life or he isn't. There is no in between. He's either God of everything or he's God of nothing. And what I'm beginning to realize is I've been patting y'all on the back, trying to explain everything, trying to make it make sense to you. Hallelujah, but time is running out. Time is running out for some of you. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. 1 month you're here and then the next month you're gone. 1 day you're here and then the next day you're not. 1 day you're consistent and then the next day you're not. 1 day you're paying tithes and then the next day you're not. 1 day at Bible study and then the next day you're not. 1 day you put down the smoking, the next day you pick it back up. 1 day you're on fire for God, then the next day you can't be found. He is either Lord of your life or he isn't. And he doesn't have to explain to you why he's God. He doesn't have to explain to you the hows of what he does. If he takes the time to, hallelujah, then that's fine. But I'm here to tell you today that some of y'all need too many answers. God is calling you to walk in faith. He's asking you to walk in faith. He's asking you to take a step when you don't know, when you don't have the explanation of what's coming next. Hallelujah. Some of y'all wouldn't have been able to handle me when I first started preaching. But I think the wear and tear of ministry, I think I guess I would say that it was my heart that made me softer. Because I felt like people would walk away. Hallelujah. They would walk away if God was too real with them. Hallelujah. 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 But I heard someone say this week, there's not enough people. Hallelujah. There's not enough people that are abrasive. There's not enough people that are abrasive about sin. There's not enough people that are abrasive about when you being selfish and when you being greedy or when you being hurtful or when you're being all of these things. There's not enough people that'll tell you to your face that you're wrong. And that should be the norm, not this babying that is occurring in the church. And so I have three scriptures for you, amen. I had three scriptures then, I have three scriptures now. And the first is Jeremiah 17 and 5. The first is Jeremiah 17 and 5, and it reads, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Did y'all hear that? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm whose heart departeth from the Lord. You need to put your trust in the Lord. Your hope needs to be in Jesus, not in man. That includes others. That even includes yourself. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop worrying about what is going to happen tomorrow or who's going to walk away. You need to be concerned whether you're walking away from the Lord, not who's walking away from you. He's the faithful one. Put your hope in something that's unfailing. Too many of us have our hope in something else. You hoping and praying for a better tomorrow. He is the better tomorrow. He is the better tomorrow. Lord, I thank you. He's my provider. He's my provider. Some of y'all are worried. I got up this morning and some of y'all worry about money. You worry about saving. The word is so real. The word is so convincing. It's so convicting. Hallelujah. He's your provider. He's either Lord or he's not. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. But don't call pastor. Don't call pastor when you get in a bind. God is saying today that it's time out. You can't trust in the Lord for him to provide for you and then do things that you know are not of God. You are going to bring a curse on yourself. You cannot withhold the things that God has said give and expect to be blessed. You want more. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you can depart with $90 more? $90 or $900, which is easier to give? If you can't give the 90, God ain't going to give you enough to tithe 900 because you're stingy. You can't even give the 50 that you're supposed to give, right? So you're never going to make it to the point where you can tithe more than that. You want him to bless you. You see, we sing these songs. We call him all these things. We call him good. But you won't even give him your 10. You won't even give him your time. But you ain't missing no meals. You drove here today. You got clothes on your back. You got shoes on your feet. Even if you didn't drive, you fortunate enough to know somebody with a car. You got blessings all around you. But it's never enough, is it? It's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. Something is still always wrong. Something is still always short. And that's why I don't praise you, God. That's why I still doubt you, God. That's why I don't trust you, God. Because it's never enough, God. Because it's never enough. If I just had a little bit more, then I would trust you. You get the little bit more and it's still never enough. God is my provider. John 4 and 10, he told the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. If you knew the person that was asking you to do such and such and such, you wouldn't hesitate to do it, but you don't do it because you don't know him. You don't do it because you don't know him. It's not because you got a bill to pay and I'm going to catch you next time. Right? It's not because you're afraid you're going to lose such and such a person. So that's why I don't want to do it. We got all these scenarios and what if in our head why we trying to justify and tell God why I won't move for you. But at the end of the day, the real reason that you won't move and the real reason that you won't trust is because you don't know him. If you knew who was asking you to give, if you knew who was asking you to sacrifice, if you knew what he was offering you, if you really understood that in your heart, there would be nothing that you would not do for God. But you don't know him. You don't know him. The mouth can say anything. The mouth can say, Lord, I praise you. The mouth can say, Lord, I honor you. The mouth can say, Lord, I live for you. The mouth just be talking. The mouth just be talking. Hallelujah. Go back to that chapter in Jeremiah. In that chapter, that's when Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The Lord can. You don't even know what's in your own heart. You don't even know what's in there, but he knows what's in there. And that's why that's where your breakthrough is. That's where your breakthrough is. It's in there. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. God knows when you have a desire to change and when you don't. You can't tell me that whatever the enemy got you bound in, you can't tell me that whatever that is stronger than my God. You a liar. Whatever it is, he's strong enough to break it. He's my hope. He's my provider. If I'm going to have anything that is good, it's going to come from him. The word tells me that he will withhold no good thing from me. If I don't have it, he don't want me to have it. If you don't have a new job, he don't want you to have a new job. Because you're going to make the new job just like the old job because your heart ain't changed. He don't want you to have it. He will withhold no good thing. When you live for him, you can't tell me that he won't bless you. Now, what that blessing looks like to you, stop trying to figure him out. Just because I say he going to bless you don't mean you're going to get what you want. I say he will bless you. He will take care of you. He will provide for your needs. He will keep you in your right mind. He'll protect your family when you're not even there. Even if that means you got to lose them, he'll still protect them. We too immature in how we think. He's a provider. He's a good God. He's trustworthy. He's just. But if we knew that about him, we would behave differently. What we say we know would line up with what we actually do. He's the supplanter of all my enemies. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And in this chapter, it describes the story of David and Jonathan. And David is telling Jonathan that Saul wants to kill him. And Jonathan is like, no, my father would not do that. My father lets me know everything that he's thinking, everything that he's planning. And David is like Jonathan, you blind. Your father wants to kill me. He's jealous of me because God has stripped the anointing from him and given it to me. And Jonathan makes up in his mind. He says, we're going to put my father into the test. And if he reacts this way, we know that he's on your side. If he reacts this way, we know that he's out to kill you. But the part that gets me is the prayer that Jonathan says. In the 13th verse, he says, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do evil, then I will show it to thee and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father. You might not understand what I'm reading, but Jonathan basically says, if I find out that my father wants to kill you, then I'm going to be on your side. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you so that you can run. I just want you to bless me and bless. If I end up dying and all your enemies die, I just want to be on the right side. I want to be on the right side of the battle. The Lord is the supplanter of my enemies. But in order for the Lord to take care of your enemies, you got to be on the right side of the battle. Even if that means you got to let somebody go. Even that means you got to choose God over your family. Because I want you to know that God's side is the anointed side. God's side is the right side. Out of David comes Jesus. God's side is the right side. Jonathan said, I am not going to fight on the losing side. The anointing is gone from off that side. I want to be on the right side. So if that means I got to betray my father and tell you what he's getting ready to do to you, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you away. so that I can remain on the right side. Because let me tell you, God is going to supplant, which means replace, all of his enemies. Anything that you put before him, he's going to tear it down. And guess what? Whenever that idol falls, you're going to fall too, because that's what you're worshiping. If it's a man, when that man falls, you're going down too. If you're depending on money, when your money gone, you're going down too. Hallelujah. Whatever you put your trust in, God is going to replace it. He's going to make himself bigger to force you to see that there is no way to be saved but by him. Y'all need to let go. Y'all need to let go. If pride is your enemy, let God replace it with humbleness. If anger is your enemy, let God replace it with love and forgiveness. Let him supplant every enemy in your life, everything that's trying to hold you back, everything that's stopping you from having the marriage you desire to have. Let him take it away. Anything that's keeping you from God. Jonathan said, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's my father. I don't care if he's currently the king. I know who's going to be on the throne. I know the promises that God has made to you, David. I side with you. Lord, I thank you. Is he your hope today? Do y'all even understand what that word means? He's my hope. When Jeremiah said what he said in that 17th chapter, the city was under siege. They were getting ready to be carried off into captivity. Everything around him was getting ready to be destroyed. Jeremiah, but in the midst of all of that, Jeremiah said, you are my hope. If I'm going to get out of this, then it has to be in you, God. Some of y'all need to be saying that. If I'm going to get out of this addiction, it has to be you, God. If I'm going to get out of this situation, it has to be you. If my life is going to turn around, it has to be you. If I'm going to get over this thing, it has to be you. Somebody needs to be saying that. While everything around me is torn up, if I'm going to get out of this, it has to be you. That's what it means to hope. He's my provider. That woman at the well told Jesus, you don't have nothing to draw with. She said, the well is too deep. Somebody in here might be thinking, God, it's too deep. The pain is too deep. The mess is too deep. The addiction is too deep. And you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing that can get to where I am. Jesus said, if you knew who it was, that was talking to you.
Yes.
I don't need no bucket.
Yes, Lord.
He said, if I be lifted up,
yes,
if you lift him up in your life, he will draw you. He will pull you out of whatever hole you in.
Glory, glory, glory.
He's a provider.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And he's a supplanter of all your enemies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody should be saying, what can man do to me? Ooh. What can man do to me? It's one thing to do all that talking, but if the storm took me and I stand in this pulpit and say I ain't scared to die, then which one is it? He's either Lord or he not. One thing I don't want to be is fake. I don't want to teach Bible study on Revelation and then be afraid to die. I don't want to say that I know that there's a place waiting on me I don't want to say that I'm safe and secure in the arms of the Lord and then be walking in anxiety. Devil, you a liar. God is my hope. He's my provider. And he's the supplanter of all my enemies.